When Daniel called upon the Lord heard him, just as we sang in that song. I appreciate those songs that Mason led. They go along well with our lesson this evening. If you'd like to turn to Daniel chapter 9, we want to look at Daniel's prayer to God. And this is a very exciting time for Daniel. There's a lot going on in this particular year that this takes place. And we're going to focus on Daniel's prayer this evening. Appreciate your presence, and I look forward to our study together. In Daniel chapter 9, we have an illustration of what I've been mentioning all along with regard to the book of Daniel, and that is that when you look at Daniel chapter 7 through 12, most of it is prediction and prophecy of the future. There is some historical account that's taking place in Daniel's day, and tonight's lesson is an example of that. Tonight's lesson is not about prediction and prophecy. The latter part of the chapter is, but tonight's lesson, we're just simply going to look at the first 19 verses. This is an historical account, a story that is taking place in the days of Daniel. So it illustrates the point that we've been making about this. In chapter 7 through 12, most of it primarily is in the future, except for here in chapter 9. What we're looking at in chapter 9 is Daniel's prayer. The chapter can be divided into two sections: Daniel's prayer, verses 1 through 19, and then the answer to that prayer. And tonight's lesson is taking place, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. The year is 539-538 B.C. Babylon has just been conquered by the Medes and the Persians. And we're going to go back and just a little bit, we'll look at the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6 in just a minute. So, in this year of transition, Babylon is falling. In fact, it took place along about this time of the year. October, 539 B.C., the Medes and the Persians come into Babylon. They divert the Tigris River. They make the water go another way, and they're able to walk under the walls of Babylon. Pretty sneaky move there. And they're able to take over Babylon. And so it's a transition for Daniel. He's been under Babylonian rule for about 66 years. Now he's going to be under Medo-Persian rule. So we have a prayer that is taking place. And tonight we're going to look at the first 19 verses. That should be chapter 9, 3 through 19 on the overhead there. I apologize for that. The first 19 verses is the prayer, and then, Lord willing, we may be able to take this up next Sunday night. The answer to this prayer involves what's called the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we'll be looking at that later. But in tonight's lesson, we'll look at the prayer, and most of our, if not all of our practical lessons tonight deal with prayer, and that's certainly a good subject to be thinking about. So let's look at Daniel's prayer. Read with me in chapter 9 in verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah the prophet for the accomplishment of the desolations of Jerusalem, even 70 years. So a historical pin is placed here in our lesson tonight, in the first year of Darius, the son of the Medes. We do not know who this individual is. We do not know the specific identification of him. Several suggestions have been given, but we just simply do not know who he is. He's an unidentified character that is described as ruling over Babylon at this time. A couple of two or three common suggestions would be that this is another name for Cyrus himself. Men at this time did have different names. We know from Chronicles, for example, that the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser, he was also known as Pul, P-U-L. A man could have different names, so it could be another name for Cyrus. I don't believe that that's the case. Turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 28. We'll go ahead and look at the end of chapter 5 and chapter 6. But in chapter 6 and verse 28, so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. These are two individuals listed here. Now, grammatically in the Hebrew, it could read, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, that is, the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It could be that, and so some people point to that. But we have later in the book, chapter 10 and verse 1, chapter 11 and verse 1, they're listed separately as different individuals, so I don't believe that that is the case. He is probably an individual known as Gubaru, who was a general or a commander in the Median army. And when they came and conquered Babylon, Cyrus allowed him to be the king for the first few months or even the first year or so there in Babylon while Cyrus was back in his capital of Ecbatana. So it would be a local king, a local ruler living in Babylon. Look at chapter 5 and verse 30. Chapter 5 and verse 30. In that night, Belshazzar the Chaldean was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So 62 years old. And again, the date there would be October 539 B.C. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps who should be throughout the whole kingdom. So he's a local ruler that Cyrus places there, and then he's going to set up other administrative officials. And then, of course, we have the well-known account of Daniel in the lion's den. Another point on that is, if you'll notice in chapter 6 and verse 7, you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den. These individuals are trying to find something against Daniel. All the presidents of the kingdom, the deputies and the satraps and the counselors and the governors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a strong interdict that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the interdict and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore the king Darius signed the writing and the interdict. And you kind of wonder, how is it that all of a sudden this guy is going to be persuaded to sign what appears to be a crazy executive order? It just doesn't really make sense. You can't pray to anybody but me. Well, it would explain it if he is a new vassal ruler. He's been placed there by Cyrus. He hadn't been there very long. These guys come to him and make this very strange executive order. And he says, you know what? I'll do it. Because he is the new guy. He's the one that's been put in charge. He's trying to make everything work. And so I'll sign off on it. And it makes sense if this is a person who has been placed there by Cyrus. Notice that this man, chapter 5 and verse 31, is about 62 years old. Daniel's going to be a little bit older than he is. Daniel is going to be up in his 80s or 90s. And by the way, on that note, I remember growing up, you know, the story about Daniel in the lion's den, I always thought he was, you know, 20s or 30s. He's down there, this strapping young man, and he's going to take on all of these lions. He's in his 80s or 90s. And he has great faith and great courage. So when you come back to chapter 9 and verse 1 with me, this is the year 539. And the reason we say 80s or 90s is, come back with me now to chapter 9 and verse 1. Daniel has been in Babylon since chapter 1 and verse 1. He's been in Babylon since about 605 B.C. Now it's 539 or 538, depending if you use the actual year that they conquer Babylon or what they call the first regal year, 539, 538. You're talking about Daniel being in Babylon 66 or 67 years. And he came there, chapter 1, the text says, as a Hebrew youth. We don't know how old he was. A lot of times you'll hear people talk about him being a teenager. He might have been up in his 20s. But somewhere along in that, whatever age you use for Daniel, add to that 66 or 67 years. You're talking about an elderly man facing those lions. In fact, in chapter 6, that's also in the first year of Darius. So this prayer and Daniel in the lion's den are coming at the same time. And we don't know which one came first, but one thing that's interesting about that is that when Daniel went into his house and opened his door toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day, tonight's lesson gives you an idea of the kind of prayer he would have been making. In chapter 6, we read about him being a man of prayer. In chapter 9, you get some insight into actually what he was saying. And those happen at the same time. So we're looking at 539 or 538 B.C. Chapter 9 and verse 2. Daniel has access to what is called the books. Some of the Old Testament prophets, most likely. And he has access to Jeremiah, which is impressive. And he's reading in Jeremiah, and he reads how that the captivity is going to be 70 years long. Now think about it. Babylon has just been conquered. This is the first year of Darius the Mede. And Daniel has been made third in the kingdom. He's one of the supervisors. He's one of the leaders. And there's this edict that you can't pray, and there's Daniel in the lion's den, and then Daniel, about the same time, is reading Jeremiah. He knows that he's been there about 66 or 67 years, and he's reading that the captivity is 70 years long. So he's got about 4 years left, maybe 3 years left, and he's reading that. Now let's turn over to Jeremiah, and let's see not only the statement about the captivity being 70 years, but let's also read in Jeremiah, and Daniel would have read this, about turning to the Lord. You see, this prayer tonight was not just some random prayer. It was not just Daniel happened to be praying. Daniel is reading in Jeremiah, and he's reading not only about the captivity being 70 years long, but he's also reading where God says, if you will turn to me, if you will call on me, and I will return you from this captivity. So Daniel is trying to carry out the very thing that he's reading. It's not just some random prayer or coincidental prayer. He would have been reading at least two places in the book of Jeremiah. The first one would be chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. But to get the background, look with me at chapter 25, verse 8. Jeremiah 25, 8. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Jehovah, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof. 605 B.C., 597 B.C., and then 586 when the temple is destroyed. And against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them as an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. That's in tonight's lesson, desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith Jehovah, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it a desolation forever. In that year that Babylon is conquered, Daniel had been reading in Jeremiah, it's going to be 70 years, Babylon's going to be conquered. He's thinking, wait a minute, God's word is about to be fulfilled here. And that's what makes him start praying. And he is short of an exact 70 years, maybe by 3 or 4 years. And so he's thinking, this is about to be accomplished. And what a great thing for Daniel and a great lesson for us to be spending time reading God's word. That's very important. The other place that Daniel would have been familiar with is, turn with me to chapter 29. Not only does this also mention the time frame, but it's this passage that also says, if you will turn back to me. Jeremiah 29, verse 10 through 14. For thus says Jehovah, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. When we read tonight's prayer, Daniel is saying toward the end of the prayer, Lord, remember your word, remember your covenant, bring us back, bring the city back. And so he's calling upon God to fulfill his word. Look at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. Now look at this. And you shall call upon me. That's what Daniel is doing in this prayer. He's calling upon the Lord. He's doing what Jeremiah says to do. And I believe that probably Daniel was not the only one. I believe that there were other faithful Jews who were calling upon the Lord. The captivity is over, Lord. Bring us back. In other words, and we're going to make a point on this later, we need to do our part. God will do his part with the scripture and it'll all be fulfilled and everything, the 70 years. But he wants us to do something too. It's both of us working together. So if you will call upon me, you see. Verse 12, and you shall call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me. That's why Daniel is praying. He's doing what God said to do at the end of the 70 years. And so he's wanting to follow what Scripture says. And I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me, and when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's what Daniel is doing. He's pouring out his heart to the Lord in sackcloth and ashes. I will be found of you, saith Jehovah. I will turn again your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith Jehovah, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So Daniel is reading about the 70 years. He realizes that we're getting close. And number two, Jeremiah says we need to call on the Lord so that he will bring us back. So this is what is taking place in tonight's lesson. Now, back to Jeremiah chapter 9. Let's look at the prayer of Daniel. Given that background, the year is very dynamic. It's about October of that year. The Medes and the Persians have come and conquered Babylon. Within the next few months, there is this new king put on the throne. His advisors are telling people, tell people not to pray. Daniel's got that going on in Babylon. He's eventually thrown into the lion's den as an elderly man. He's reading in Jeremiah that the captivity is about up and I need to pray to God. All of these things are going on. And verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication the very thing that God said to Jeremiah, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And so what we find then is this prayer of Daniel. He prays to God to keep his covenant that he had mentioned in Jeremiah. And even back in the law of Moses, we're going to see in just a minute, return the Jews to their land. Lord, please keep the promise that you said that you would do. Now, hold your hand there in Daniel 9 and turn back with me to Leviticus chapter 26. We'll look at just one example of this. You may recall that when Israel was coming through the wilderness, they stop at Mount Sinai and they get the law. Leviticus, toward the end, there is some discussion of, if you keep my word, I will bless you, and if you turn away from the law, you will be taken into captivity. Notice in Leviticus chapter 26, that's the chapter where there's all of these curses or chastisements for disobedience. But notice in Leviticus 26 and verse 40, Daniel probably would have known about this as well, because in his prayer he talks about the law of Moses. But in Leviticus 26:40. And they shall confess their iniquity. That's what tonight's prayer is going to be all about. They shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their trespasses, which they trespassed against me. And also that because they walked contrary unto me, I also walked contrary unto them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, we'll see that tonight, and then accept of the punishment, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left by them, and shall enjoy its Sabbaths, 70 years, while it lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they rejected my ordinances, and their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, Daniel and Babylon, I will not reject them, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. For I am Jehovah their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of all the nations, that I might be their God. I am Jehovah. Verse 40, if they will confess and if they will come to me. That's exactly what Daniel is doing in tonight's lesson. He's going back and following what the Word of God says, the conditions that are laid down in order to bring about the return. So, and we find the same thing in Deuteronomy that we won't take time to look at this evening, but it's the same type of thing. If they will confess, if they'll turn to me, if they'll humble themselves and so forth. We find this actually later, a long prayer in Nehemiah chapter 9 of the same type of thing. So let's look at Daniel's prayer. Now, before we look at this, I want to set this up. When you look at Daniel's prayer, I want to read the whole thing through and then come back and make some lessons. You can divide this prayer up into the people's side of the equation and God's side. So as we go down through this prayer, take note of some things that Daniel is saying about the people, and then take note of what Daniel is saying about God himself. And with regard to the people, the key theme is we have. You might just circle in your Bible. There's at least four of these, depending upon the version that you have. We have this, we have this, we have not this. That's the theme on the people's side of this prayer. What we have done or what we have not done. So Daniel's going to say, we have sinned, we have rebelled, we have not obeyed, we have not entreated you. And it's a beginning to fulfill these conditions that are laid down by Jeremiah. If they will call upon me, Leviticus 26, if they will confess their iniquities. Daniel wants to do what the Word of God says in order to bring about the end of this captivity and the return to Jerusalem. So take note of the we have statements as we go down through here. Then on God's side of the equation, you'll notice in your Bible this evening, O Lord is mentioned several times. O Lord. Talking about the greatness of God. O Lord, you're great and dreadful. Verse 4, you're righteous. Verse 7, you're full of mercies and forgiveness. Verse 9. And then toward the end of the prayer, there are four times where Daniel is going to make specific requests of the Lord. O Lord, turn away your wrath. O Lord, hear me. O Lord, see the problems that we're in. O Lord, forgive. So the we have statements identify man's side of it, and the O Lord statements identify God's side. Let's read the prayer together. Verse 4. Daniel 9, 4 through 19. And I prayed unto Jehovah, just like Jeremiah said to do, just like Leviticus said to do. And I prayed unto Jehovah, my God, and made confession. Leviticus 26, I made confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love Him and keep His commandments, we have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from thy precepts and from thine ordinances. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets that spake in thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land, prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of face as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off. Through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespasses, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Jehovah our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even turning aside, that they should not obey thy voice. Therefore has the curse been poured out upon us, the Babylonian captivity, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, the Babylonian captivity. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, that's going to be the Leviticus 26 and the Deuteronomy 28, the cursings. It was prophesied ahead of time. And this is like 900 years before, almost 1,000 years. God said, I'm going to take you into a foreign land. All of this has come about just like the law of Moses said. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil, this Babylonian captivity, has come upon us. Yet have we not entreated the favor of Jehovah our God, that we should turn from our iniquities and have discernment in thy truth. Therefore hath Jehovah watched over the evil and brought it upon us. For Jehovah our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. And we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Daniel wants to make it very clear. Lord, I'm doing what you said to do. I am confessing the sin. And Jeremiah says, not only the sin of you, but the sin of your fathers. Some have wondered, well, why is Daniel doing all of this for other people? Because that's what Jeremiah said to do. That's what God through Jeremiah said to do. Not just a sin that you might be committing in your day in Babylon, but what led to all of this. Just admit to it. Own up to it. Confess it. And that's what Daniel's doing. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, let thine anger and thy wrath, I pray thee, be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and all thy people are become a reproach to all that are round about us. Now therefore, O our God, hearken unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. And he's going to answer that this very year, this very year, that Babylon, Daniel is praying. If you turn to Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, in the first year of Cyrus, which is going to be the first year of Darius, Cyrus is going to allow the people to come back and start rebuilding the temple. God hears prayers. God answers prayers. And not just for the people, but also for the sanctuary, the temple, verse 17. O my God, verse 18, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations. We read that word in Jeremiah. And the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy's sake. It's not about anything that we have done. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken or listen and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Now, we're going to stop right there. Lord willing, when we look at the next part, God is going to answer this prayer and he's going to send Gabriel to tell Daniel how this prayer is going to be answered. And the unfolding of it, the bringing back of God's people to the land all the way up until the time of Christ. It's called the 70 weeks of Daniel. So we'll look at that later. But in tonight's lesson, we're just going to focus on this prayer. I want you to notice And if I'm going through some of this too quickly and you're taking notes, I'd be glad to just give you a copy of it later. But I want you to notice that what I call the five elements of prayer, they're all right here. When we pray to God, let's, as much as possible, include all of these different elements in our prayer. I think Thanksgiving is probably one of the most popular ones, at least when I pray. I commonly, thank you, Lord, for this or that, and confessing things. But we're to intercede, we're to pray for others. Daniel is clearly praying for himself and others. He adores or praises God, how great God is. He's righteous. He's full of mercy. He confesses sin. Thanksgiving, the word thanksgiving is not used in his prayer, but it's implied. He's thankful for God bringing them out of Egypt. He's thankful for the giving them the law, giving them the prophets, different things that he has done. And then, of course, the word supplication is actually used in the text. Supplication is another term for petition or asking God for things. But just as a side note with regard to prayer, when we pray to God privately or the men praying here publicly, let's do as much as possible to include all of the elements of prayer that we find in Scripture. That would certainly be a good thing. So I noticed that. And then let's look at some lessons that we can gain from this great prayer. First of all, look at verse 2. How did Daniel know God's will? He read God's book. It's as simple as that. You want to know God's will? Read God's book. A lot of times we ask, well, how can I know God's will? How do I know what God wants from me? Read God's book. The text says that Jeremiah understood. He understood what was going on. I, Daniel, understood by the books. That's how I know. And that's why our daily Bible reading is so important. Read, 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 read. And Jesus even refers to this in Matthew chapter 24, what Daniel said. And so, as much as we can, read the Word of God. That's how we know God's will. And I know that you're doing that, and let's continue to do that. Another very important lesson is this, that God's Word may say something. And there are a lot of things that God says in the New Testament that we're under today. And God will make different points about different things regarding the church or the lost or the coming judgment day or a host of things. We've got to understand that even though things are written in the Word of God, He also wants us to pray to go along with that. We still need to pray. Even though things are written in Scripture, God is looking for us to pray. God said, I'm going to make the Babylonian captivity be 70 years. That's God's side. But in Jeremiah, he says, I want you to call upon me. I want you to turn unto me. So they need to do that as well. So when we read things in the Word of God, it's settled, it's fixed. God's Word is true. It will be accomplished with regard to Jesus' second coming and a bunch of things like that. But we still need to pray. We need to do our part. And this is a great example of it. That God's word is going to be fulfilled when the 70 years are up, but he still wanted Daniel to pray about it. Why? Why, you say? Why do that if it's going to be carried out? God wants to see if we will be humble. God wants to see if we will turn to him. God wants to see if we really do trust his word. When Daniel reads 70 years, does he trust that? Well, one way you show that is you turn to God in prayer and start calling upon God to bring his people back. It shows. Do you really believe the word of God or not? So it's God's word. That's true. But he also wants us to pray along with that to show our faith in God's word. Another lesson is the importance of humility in prayer. Notice in verse 3, that when he set his face to the Lord, it was with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Notice the humility. There's no pride here. There's no, God, 70 years is about up, so you better be doing what you said you were going to do. There's none of that. It's humility. It's dependence upon God. And that is a great reminder for us today. In 1 Peter 5, when we're told to cast all of our care in the same context, Peter says, humble yourselves before the Lord. So humility and dependence in prayer is important. God is faithful to those who love and obey Him. He will keep His covenant. And we need to love Him and keep His commandments. And God will bring those words to pass in our lives. This is a really important lesson in prayer, and that is just simply be open and honest. When you look at the confession portion of this especially, you find that Daniel is just open and honest. The priest will do this later in Nehemiah chapter 9 after Nehemiah comes back and the walls have been rebuilt and they're celebrating the rebuilding of the walls. They've read the Word of God. And in chapter 9, the priests get together and it's one long confession of prayer. Just confessing sin after sin after sin. Just being open about that. It's a similar type of thing here. Nehemiah 9 and Daniel 9. I don't know if that was planned by God or not, but that's how it works out. Two prayers, Nehemiah 9 and Daniel 9. When you read down through here, it doesn't say, do you ever read in this prayer where Daniel said, if we have sinned? Does he say, if we have sinned? There's none of that. And sometimes today you'll hear that type of thing. Well, if I've done anything wrong, or if I, it wasn't anything like that. It was, this is what we've done. And I'm owning up to it, and I'm admitting it, and I'm just being open and honest about it. That is a great quality that we need to keep in mind today. Today, kind of like Adam and Eve, it's about blaming. Well, you know, so-and-so made me do it, and I'm not really responsible. Today, it's about passing the buck and not being responsible and shifting the blame. You don't find any of that here. And you don't find the word if. If we have rebelled, it, you don't find that. It's, we have done this. And we want to be forgiven, and we want to come back to you, and we want you to help us come back to our land. Just open and honest. Notice this. If you go down through this prayer, notice how many things that Daniel says with regard to what Israel and Judah have done to leave the Lord. He doesn't just use one word. There's 10 different words that he uses. Notice how many different ways a person can leave God. That's why we need to be really careful in our service to God today. And these same types of words are used in the New Testament. And we make a number of different points on them, like sin is missing the mark, and trespassing is leaving maybe God's word unintentionally. We fall and falter. We don't mean to or transgress. There's iniquity, which means lawlessness. And we make all of those points. Those same types of words are used in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. There's different ways that we can leave God. And we need to be really mindful of that. And so he talks about sin, and we've done perversely, we've done wickedly, we've rebelled, we've turned aside, we've not listened. We've got to keep our ears open to the Word of God. Trespass, not obey, transgress, iniquity. And I realize that that can sound a little negative, but that's the truth of the matter. And we have to be on guard each day and always follow the Word of God and never do any of these kinds of things. We must always listen to God's appointed spokesman. Verse 6, they didn't listen to the prophets that came. God sent them. And another text says, rising up early in the morning. God sent them men. And today we have Jesus and the New Testament apostles. We have those spokesmen in the New Testament that preach and teach to us. We have to keep our ears open to that. And notice that when God promises something, no matter how long ago it's been mentioned, in verses 11 through 13, he brings up the law of Moses. This would be about 900 years before tonight's story. 900 years have gone by. But that doesn't matter. In the law of Moses, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28 through 30, if you disobey and you keep doing that, I'm going to take you off to another land. And it happened. When God says something, it will happen. It doesn't matter how much time has passed. And so when God talks in the New Testament about things that will happen, it will happen. It doesn't matter how much time passes. And we need to remember that. And so 70 years now have passed, and Daniel is saying, Lord, will you keep your word and bring us back to the land? Look at verse 13. This is a beautiful statement. That we should turn from our iniquities and have discernment in thy truth. It's always important to turn away from sin and come back and just deal wisely with the truth. Just come back to the truth of God's word. When we're sinning, when we're doing what we shouldn't be doing, we're not thinking clearly with regard to the truth. And it's time to come back to the truth of God's word. What a great lesson for us today. And if we're experiencing problems and hardships, the fault is ours, not God's. You know, today I hear a lot when people are going through hard times, one of the first things they say is, why did God... Well, wait a minute. Why shouldn't the first thing be said, why have I done something? You'll notice in this prayer that Daniel says, we are getting what we deserve. Today, everybody blames God. Today, everybody says, well, God caused this and God's making me go through this. Well, wait a minute. No, it's what I've done. God wants only what's best. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, James 1. If something bad is going on, it's because of something that we have done. And Daniel's prayer is a good reminder of that. You don't find in this prayer, oh God, why did you start doing this? And oh God, why did you start doing that? He said, we have caused this. And it's a good reminder again for us today. And when we ask God to do specific things, we're coming down toward the close. When we ask God to do specific things, then He will, if it's according to His will, of course, within His will, He will do it. And what's interesting is that in this very year that Daniel makes this prayer, that's Ezra 1, verse 1, where Cyrus, we're told, God stirred up his heart and God's people start coming back. God answers prayer when we are faithful, when we're asking according to His will. And then last of all, prayer is about God, not about us. Look at verses 17 through 19. Three times you will see the word for the Lord's sake, something dealing with the Lord's sake. Look at verse 17, for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, for thy great mercy's sake. And then verse 19, are called by thy name, forgive, hear, defer not for thine own sake. This is about God. Do this, Lord, for your sake. This is about you. You keep covenant. You're faithful. You're righteous. You're merciful. This is about you. And it's a good reminder for us today when we pray that it's not about us. It's about God. Well, that's Daniel's prayer. And what a great thing it is. He's reading the Word of God. He's understanding God's will because he's reading it. We can do the same today. It stirs him and moves him to offer up a prayer of confession. And because he's humble and obedient, God hears those things. And those specific things that Daniel is asking him in verses 16 through 19, those specific things God is saying up in heaven, I'll do that. I'll do that one. I'll do that one. And he does all of them. And what a beautiful thing that is. And I believe he'll do the same for us today, if we have that same relationship with God that Daniel had. Let's all have that. And then we have that beautiful blessing of answered prayer. There may be someone here this evening that needs to come to God, just like Israel needed to come back. Maybe you need to come and put him on in baptism or come back to the Lord in some way, and we can assist you in doing that. But God stands ready and open to receive those who truly want to confess and repent and turn around and come to Him. And just like in Daniel's day, He'll do that today. If we can assist you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?